Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the TerraJab Radio Network.
In your face.
We're online. 24-7.
24-7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
D-O-C-R. The voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications.
Welcome to VOCR, Spy Gazette Live. It is Tuesday, April the 22nd, 2014. Riding shotgun tonight is, of course, Hugh Mack. We'll be talking to Hugh in just a few moments. And tonight, we continue to scan the news, make comments, discuss. And if you, our listener, are so inclined, we shall take your call for debate, discussion, or dispute.
347-324-3287.
We'll give you 1 minute to settle in, and then we'll be back with tonight's session and, of course, Hugh Mack.
347-324-3287. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. We are VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Do you think that you are targeted based upon your political beliefs, your religious beliefs, or just because you chose to apply?
Our beliefs, our views.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knights, and co-host Hugh Mack.
And indeed, riding shotgun with me tonight is Hugh Mack. Good evening, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very good. How are you doing tonight, Colin?
I'm doing pretty good, sir, so far. Well, this is our first one-hour show of the new season, Hugh. You know, for the next 12 weeks, we're kind of committed to bringing the people what they want to hear. So I look forward to the discussions with you.
I look forward to it being regular again and having at it on a regular basis.
Yeah, get into a regular flow so our listeners can find us live. They are finding us on Archive, which is brilliant, and we appreciate it. But we do miss some lives, so hopefully over the next couple of weeks that'll change. We do invite everybody to share their thoughts, of course, their thoughts, ideas. Call in when we're live and discuss it openly. It's okay. Or if you prefer to issue a written editorial, you can always send an email to vocr2012@gmail.com, mark it editorial, so we can process it through the Spy Gazette. So, Hugh, first piece of business for the night is notifications today that their confidence is low, that they're going to find this missing Malaysian airline. Maybe those conspiracy theorists were right, and it was hijacked for a later event. What do you take on this?
I don't really know, Colin. It could be that it just went down and they can't find it, and that may be the end of it, you know, in the big picture. But it's hard not to at least listen to some of these theories that are going around about. Originally one of the first ones I heard was the pilot and co-pilot were suspects, or at least being looked at for having connections to organized crime. So it's hard to say where it's going to go. And be careful, too, because there's going to be, you know, the conspiracy theories now are going to abound, and until we hear something tangible, There really is no answer.
Yeah, I heard a couple of theories. I got a couple of theorists that are pounding me with email regarding it. Some of it makes it up to Spy Gazette, some of it doesn't. But, you know, a couple of theories is one that it's landed in Diego Garcia. And the reason it was taken there is because of some very high-value targets on board the plane that were into a very high focus of artificial intelligence. Now, that's the one theory I heard. Apparently, a dozen or so of these technicians that were going back to China. It's an American company with a China's office, and these guys were the bee's knees for this technical stuff, and they were all heading over there. So who knows, right? You know, the other theory, of course, is that it's been stolen by Al-Qaeda, and it's got something to do with Israel, flying it into Israel on a commercial airway, making it look like a phony plane until it's too late, and then hitting Israel with an EMP. And, you know, the conspiracy theories just continue. And it may be as simple as you say. Something went wrong, they went in the sea, and it's over.
Yeah, and they were catching something apparently from the little bleeper box that was attached there, and for what it was about a month. But they don't know for sure that's what it was from, but they were going on that assumption, and it could be it was just down somewhere. Of course, it makes you wonder why, if they were picking these things up, why they all panned out to be nothing. Even some of these big findings that they apparently saw through with satellites in certain spots in the ocean, and they got there and they turned out to be nothing, not just something else big or something unrelated, but why were they big to begin with?
Yeah. Almost like somebody was leading them around and playing with their systems.
Yeah.
You know, almost looked like somebody was testing to see if they can create artificial signals to confuse the enemy, maybe. I don't know. But the one thing I don't understand, Hugh, is with all of our technology, all of the intelligence that we have on this earth, why we rely on these old-fashioned, although very, very sturdy, these old-fashioned methods of reporting an accident after the fact, the black boxes. Now, granted, they have answered a lot of questions in the past, but why is it that these planes can't real-time their information to a central hub? I just don't understand that. Why can't they, or maybe the flight boxes are jettisoned automatically under a certain condition. But I just don't understand why we're subject to this little black box to have the answer.
It does seem kind of primitive considering the technology we've got now. You know, but I mean, I look around and I don't believe half of what the government's telling us is going on anyways about anything. You know, I go on the assumption the government's going to lie if they do that as a matter of course. And so any information that the government releases on any of this stuff is suspect right off the bat. And I agree with you. You know, we've got technology. We can pinpoint a nickel anywhere on the face of the planet, you know, with the laser technology that we have. But these planes, which apparently are more sacrilege than God himself to some people, because people give up their rights hand over fist just to fly on a plane. The security at airports is absolutely astounding regarding these planes, and yet they can go missing.
Yeah.
I just doesn't seem right to me. Like you say, the technology, such advanced technology we have, and we can't find one of these planes.
Well, once again, are we fighting up against the corporations that do not want to spend the extra money on the technology? Do you think it's a pushback from the airline companies, or are we just naive to think that these black boxes are going to do us good, you know, into the 21st, 22nd century? I mean, we have to get ahead of the technology, and it certainly seems like in this case we haven't.
Are we 100% sure that the black box is all that they're relying on? Are we 100% sure that somebody doesn't know where that plane is and it's just is not telling us?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it might be easier for an airline to say, have it look like an accident, write it off, rather than disclose where it is and have certain things found out. I mean, I don't believe the technology isn't there, and I really don't believe it's not being deployed. I think there's way more to it. Even if it just went down, even if it just accidentally went down due to pilot error or, you know, adverse conditions or whatever, I'm not 100% convinced that somebody does know where it is, and it's just better off to keep it the way it sits.
Well, you know, that there's one theory is as good as the other. I did watch a news special last week, I believe it was, regarding how difficult it would be to land such a plane on a makeshift runway or anything that's even similar. And it wouldn't be that difficult as long as the ground was compacted. Like, they put down pretty easy, but their weight capacity is what is of concern, that it wouldn't be able to land on sand because it's weak, not and be able to take off again. It could crash land, but the weight capacity itself would tear right into the ground. So it's limited as to where it can go. So the idea that somebody's cut an airstrip out of the jungle and landed this thing is slim to non-existent. This thing needs to land on a very specific style of surface to be able to impact the weight that it's landing on. I mean, it's you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds of pressure pushing down when it lands. It's not an easy impact.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It wouldn't be easy to do and certain areas, but you know, I don't know. It's interesting question, and you know, it's like so many of these other mysteries. I'm sure we'll get information trickling out as time goes by, but I'm not sure we're ever going to know what happened to it. And you know, again, whether or not somebody does is still a question for me.
Yeah, it's confusing, that's for sure. And like you say, until we get some trickle of information, as long as it's not a whistleblower, whistleblowers concern me because I'm never sure that their information isn't biased for another reason as opposed to why they're doing it. I'm very skeptical of whistleblowers, to be honest with you. But I tell you what, we'll do a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll have a look at Ukraine, okay?
That sounds like a plan.
The following information presented is the opinion of the host or speaker and not necessarily the opinion of VOCR or its affiliates. All opinions and ideology remain the property of the host or the guest or the speaker. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I'm a United States Senator and a Vice President of the United States for one reason, because I was educated.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
Speak softly and carry a big stick, end of quote. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
And we would be remiss if we didn't bring up the Syria, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Ukrainian mess. Today, the Russian ambassador confirmed that an official from the Canadian embassy in Moscow had been expelled in retaliation for the removal of a Russian attaché from Canada this month. And according to Biden, who you just heard on that soundbite, the intelligent one, has told Russia that they have days, not weeks, to abide by an international accord aimed at stemming the crisis in Ukraine. The top U.S. diplomat in Kiev warned on Monday as Vice President Joe Biden launched a high-profile show of support from the pro-Western Ukraine government. And Russia, in turn, accused authorities in Kiev of flagrantly violating the pact and declared their actions would not stand. The United States have announced that they will send 600 U.S. troops to Poland and the three Baltic states to take part in an exercise in the coming days to reassure NATO allies following Russia's seizure of the Crimean. Now, what do you think, Hugh? What kind of a shitstorm are they making now?
I don't know. It sounds like a bunch of children that can't play well together in the sandbox. I don't know. I mean, from my own personal feelings, I don't know why they can't just leave the Ukraine alone. I know Russia has a vested interest in it, and I know others think that they have a vested interest in it, but what about the Crimean people? What about, like most wars, it almost always the only involvement the innocent people have is they get killed. And this just seems like one of the most ridiculous reasons to be doing this. Well, not our reason, but the reasons that they're all bandying about here. It just seems like in fact, I want to know what's going on somewhere else. I think it's being used as a distraction more than anything. The tension in the Middle East, it certainly doesn't need this kind of a distraction.
And
most of the time when these conflicts happen, they're for that reason anyways, because they want to keep the average mind off of what's going on somewhere else. And the poor people of the Ukraine and many parts of Russia are being subjected to it for probably no good reason.
So do you think that the Crimea will ever be resolved to the satisfaction of everybody without military intervention? Do you think Putin is going to be crazy enough to push into the Ukraine based on the weakness of Obama and Joe Biden?
I haven't seen anything in history or Russia's history to downplay the possibility. I think it's coming. I think there's almost no chance it won't. I think there's going to be military force used, and whatever becomes of it, however much it escalates, however many innocent lives are lost, I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's got anything to do with the solution to any real problem, though.
So you think that this is a moment of opportunity as opposed to being a real crisis in the Ukraine.
Yeah, I do. I think that about most wars, Colin. I think that if you look back on most wars, I think that's what they are. Right. The battle cry that's used to get the people to fight, to get these people or the average people involved in these wars, it's the same. I mean, maybe different names, different races, different colors, but I think this is just another one of those situations where the fight is being staged for us. It's being set up for us, and it's to hide something else, I'm sure.
So who do you think, then, if that is the case, and I don't doubt that you're not right in many levels of that. So who's pulling the strings? Who's playing the tune that we're all dancing to? Is this, are we moving into the Illuminati or the Masons or are the Bilderbergs and those kind of people? Is that where
you think? I don't know enough about the Bilderbergers or the Freemasons or anyone in the Illuminati to say that for sure. But it would be the usual suspects, as with any war. I mean, it'll be, you know, I guess if you're going to chase the paper and chase the forensics, you look at who stands to gain from it, which undoubtedly is going to be oil companies and, you know, companies like Halliburton and who stands to gain from it. Well, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was about to say FDR. Warned about the military-industrial complex, and that they were gaining a great deal of power in the Defense Department and projects, and that was that was in the late 50s. So I mean, where are we
now? It's likely already been corrupted. I mean, it's likely already been corrupted to the point where we couldn't even recognize it. I mean, look, the treaties. Who's got more troops on American soil, Americans or the United Nations? You know, and most of those troops that would be on American soil would be the Russians, the Chinese, you know, the ones that were our enemies back during the Cold War and even more, much more recently than that. So it just could be that the military industrial complex has become a worldwide player, as opposed to just maybe they don't even recognize Russian soldiers from American soldiers. You know, the United Nations seems to be the court for all of it.
Yeah. Well, the United Nations, in my opinion, is unnecessary. When it came through the League of Nations, as a child, I was indoctrinated with the idea of the United Nations, and in theory, it was a wonderful system. But in theory, communism works too. So the complicated problem is with any system that we have on Earth, the one thing we cannot seem to filter out is greed.
Well, there's
greed
that.
Seems
there's
to be that last thing.
Colin, I think that if anybody says that they're going to do something to change the world, they want to have an effect on the world, I think they're megalomaniacs. I think you change and have an effect on your family, and you change and have an effect on your community, and you change and have an effect on yourself. But once you get beyond a localized thing, your ideals aren't going to wash. You're just going to wind up forcing them on everybody and people that shouldn't have to suffer your ideals or my ideals, you know. But when you get when you get countries pushing their weight around, you're going to get ideals and human rights and everything else stepped on to the point where It just doesn't matter. I think if we're going to change the planet, and it definitely needs changing, but I think if we're going to change the planet, you're not going to do it by backing one side or the other in any of these major global conflicts. And let's face it, anybody that thinks the United States, or even for that matter Canada or Great Britain, is any less guilty than China, Russia, Al-Qaeda, or anybody else, I really think you're missing the point. I think it's like playing a hockey game. You know, if you get hit in the head with a puck during a hockey game, you can't sue the guy that shot the puck because you chose to play the game. Right. Now, if you're sitting in the stands or an innocent bystander walking past the rink, you get hit in the head with the puck. Well, you had no intentions of playing that game, and it shouldn't have damaged you. You have the right to sue. Well, I feel that way about politics. I feel that way about governments. I mean, if you're going to back these governments, one government or another, whether, you know, it's Obama or, you know, here in Canada, Stephen Harper and whoever his competition might be, the little Prince Trudeau, it doesn't matter. If you're going to back one or the other, you're playing the game. You're involved in the game, and you got no right to complain when the system rolls over you. And I feel that way globally, too.
You bought the ticket, right? You bought the ticket. You know, like, you bought the ticket. So, I'm with you on it. You know, I get what you're saying. What I'm concerned about is throughout a number of emails that I have received over the last little while. Now, granted, some of them are from some of my famous conspiracy theorist friends, but they all have the same flowing song, is that it's the big G. It's the big government. It's the feds. It's not the person you're hiring for the White House, and it's not the people in Congress or the Senate. Our parliaments that are actually pulling the strings. They're the ones that are playing the tune that somebody has written for them. But it seems exactly. That there's a higher power. There's a bigger calling.
Well, look, you look in Alberta here, we got a party that's been in for almost 45 years, which to me is a dictatorship right off the bat. But you look at this party, they've been in for 45 years. Well, who's pulling their strings? Do you think that party would be in if that party wasn't such a keen advocate of the industry, the only industry that really provides the economy here? No, that government, if that government wasn't playing their tune, they'd be out in a heartbeat. So who is pulling the strings? You know, I mean, if you think Stephen Harper runs this country, he just does the paperwork. You
right.
know, and the sales, the public opinion and all of that stuff. That's what a government does.
It would take a massive machine to control country and governments on such a colossal scale, to have everything merge at a point in time of your choosing, like this Ukrainian issue. This was almost prophesized.
I don't think it would take such a massive machine. I think it would take a very simple machine that could operate quietly in the background. It's not the power that the machine delivers. It's the efficiency that would do the trick. And if you got a machine that nobody's going to notice, it's never going to occur to anybody to shut it off. Because it performs so many different tasks, so many different essential tasks along the way that you see this machine doing this for you. You have no idea that it's doing something entirely different for something else, for someone else. You wouldn't know. Because all you see is what's in front of you, and all we see on the media is what's in front of us, the names and faces that they put in front of us. I don't think it would be that hard to be secretive enough to be effective at it. And I don't think there has to be that many people involved. Ownership has been pared down in the last 50 years. Corporate ownership in North America has been pared down from many hundreds of thousands of businesses to many thousands of businesses running everything. And the ones that you don't see, the corporate shareholders and even perhaps people that are controlling them, but you don't see them. They're the ones that are doing it. And I don't think it would take, as long as the media attention isn't on them, who the hell would ever know what they're doing until it's done? If you run Lockheed to have one, a major American military manufacturer, and you can go and make a deal with your counterpart somewhere over in Asia somewhere who controls the arms manufacturers over there, and you can perpetuate war, you can keep them fighting, you got limitless coffers coming in. I can't hear you, Colin, if you're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I lost you. Did you lose me, or were you hearing me?
No, everything seemed to be fine. What I was trying to get at is that the military-industrial complex, it's in their best interest to keep war going, but who pulls their string? You know, that there's always somebody higher, greater, bigger, and badder, right? So that's the question. And actually, when we come back, we'll talk about a comment I got from one of our readers. Let's do a quick phone break. We'll be right back.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. We are VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. The following information presented is the opinion of the host or speaker, and not necessarily the opinion of VOCR or its affiliates. All opinions and ideology remain the property of the host or the guest or the speaker. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I'm a United States Senator and a Vice President of the United States for one reason, because I was educated. I was educated.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
Speak softly and carry a big stick, end of quote. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
And as we continue our discussions regarding the Ukraine and various other parts around the world, so you apparently, Assad has claimed that is going ahead with an election. I guess he must think he's killed enough people to make it in his favor, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what's an election there. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's here you come. I mean, is it secret election, secret ballots? Is it you know, a show of hands? Are you not being monitored when you go in and out of the polling stations? I don't see anything. Well, I don't know if I suppose I've aired my opinion about democracy many times. Democracy's not the be-all and end-all, and certainly an election system in a country that's never entertained the idea of democracy, I don't trust it. Might be a step in the right direction, but beyond that, you know,
well,
it doesn't mean anything to me.
Assad ascended to the throne. I mean, it was handed to him by his father. So, you know, this is a, you know, this is more like a monarchy than anything else, even though I must say that Syria was one of the quieter nations in the Middle East for quite a long time. I remember when Syria were the best friends to Russia, and Russia were in there like dirty shirts, and they were all cozying up, and they were using their deep-water docking ports, and they were all pally-pally. And then when Russia started to fall apart, they started withdrawing funds, and Syria started to crumble. And then, of course, Saddam Hussein got his fingers in there with Syria. And I'm still convinced to this day that that Hussein's weapons of mass destruction did leave Iraq into Syria, as was reported in the few days after shock and awe. And I'm convinced that the weapons that were destroyed in Libya were, in fact, Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction.
Well, I hadn't actually considered that, but that sounds like a real feasible explanation. I mean, in the absence of the proof that we would need to you know, state that emphatically, I think that's as good a theory as any. But once again, Syria has never been that huge an aggressor. I don't understand why Western society is so vehement on changing Syria.
Well, I think all of the demagogues, if you will.
What's the deal that
I think, yeah, I think all of the demagogues around the world have been put on notice.
Why are so many outsiders interested in what's going on in these countries? They're by and large benevolent countries.
Well, I think by choice, their systems of government, their repression on their citizens, seems to have given us this divine right to change governments. Right? Can you hear me?
Okay. I'm not sure if anybody else is hearing Colin or if anybody else is even hearing me, but we'll carry on.
Are you hearing me, Hugh?
You know, on these topics and wanted to call in. No, I seem to have lost you, Colin.
How's that? Am I back?
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece.
Well, I do think that I am on the air, according to all indications. So while you get all sorted out there, we will continue. I think the worst thing in the world to look at the world as it is to try and understand what's going on in the minds of those that are playing this chess game. I think the worst thing in the world is declaring that somebody's actions are abhorrent to you so that you have to do something in return to respond. I think that's where the difficulty is in life, is that we feel compelled to stick our nose into so many areas. And once in a while, we get our nose bitten. And I think that's what's happened not only with Afghanistan, but also with other Vietnam and other areas around the world. Now, this isn't the United States' problem. This isn't their problem. They have been given this job as the policemen of the world. Europe downloaded the Middle East onto the United States around about 1947, after they carved up the Middle East and gave away these kingdoms and fiefdoms. And from that time on, about 47, 48, 49, during the Israeli conflict, that is when the United States became the police of the Middle East. And Europe just stepped back and almost washed their hands of it. So I don't know exactly what's going on. But it does appear something strange is happening. Something definitely strange is happening. We're going to take a two-minute break, reload everything. We'll be right back. And hopefully that reconnects me and life is grand. Are you there, Hugh? No. Then I guess it must be Hugh's issue as opposed to the OCRs. So as I was saying, it's hard to tell who's at fault for the problems around the world. You know, Russia are pushing their envelope because I believe they feel that Barack Obama is weak. And more importantly, the United States are weak. If you look at the timing of this Russian push into the Crimea, we are coming up to the lame duck president hour. For the last 6 to 8 months of his presidency, Barack Obama is going to be working by executive order because nothing is going to come through. So it would have to be something darn serious for Congress to step up and deal with an issue. And usually the only time Congress would step up to deal with an issue is when a declaration of war or the use of force of military troops is required. Now, the President of the United States can send in troops, but within a certain time frame, he must go to Congress and advise them of his actions. And they will vote at that point in time as to whether the President was correct or incorrect. And they will move at that point in time to leave the troops in place or remove them, or send them in. Congress will rule this one in the end, unless, of course, Barack Obama chooses to attempt to run the country by executive order, which could cause him to create a constitutional crisis. Now, what really confuses the mix is that there's a bill going through the states right now. 16 states have already signed, agreeing that the Electoral College votes would automatically go to the popular vote winner. So the popular vote would be the only measure of the election, which causes a great deal of concern in the Constitution and the breach of certain rules and regulations that were set down by the Founding Fathers. The Constitution has been attacked and assaulted at all levels. And it is quite clear that there is trouble in River City. Now, will that trouble ease if the Democrats are thrown out of power in the United States? Will it ease if the Conservatives in Canada get another majority on the federal level? Would Alberta's problems ease regarding the oil fields if the Conservative government that's been around for 47 years was changed to the Wild Rose Party, which are basically the old Conservatives that didn't like what the new Reform Party had done to the new Conservatives? So it's all political in that it has nothing to do with what's good for the boots on the ground people. It has nothing to do with how a person survives. And then you mix that up with the reports that you read on Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere and on blogs. And you, out there you have agent provocateurs. They are hired, they are paid, they are authorized for disinformation. When someone wishes you to know something, they will tell you in the manner they wish you to know it. And politics is no different. They have it down to a fine science. I tell you, a fine science.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Voice your opinion. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
Now, jumping right away from the trouble and strife in the world and getting back to the environmental issues, and no, we won't touch the oil pipeline. Well, let's talk about the XL. As you know, the XL has been denied by the Obama administration until after the midterms, in hopes to maybe protect some of the base of the environmentalists until the Democrats are reelected. But the XL pipeline is coming. And if you go to the Spy Gazette blog tomorrow morning, there will be a map of the existing pipelines in the United States of America. And it's not like the XL pipeline is the first pipeline west. In fact, it is minuscule in comparison to what is already being piped around the country that we know of. So I'll put that'll go up on the Spy Gazette tomorrow morning, and it'll be a map of the pipelines to the United States, and it will astound you. So, you know, the XL pipeline will happen. It is good for the United States of America. It's good for creation of jobs in Canada and the United States. It's good for the supply of oil. It is good for the environment because the percentage of spill in comparison with the non-spill percentage is astronomical. It's so minuscule that it would make you shake your head. It is like your car dripping oil from the oil pan in comparison. So once those realities are known, and once the billionaires have put the money back in their pocket and are no longer fighting to permit Canada to be a natural resource hub of the free world. Once that's all happened, then we may get onto even playing terms. But until that happens, we'll have to succumb to the will of the political parties of the day. But rest assured that if Republicans do take the House, and they do have the Hill, the day after the election, the XL pipeline will be authorized. Because the governments understand secure oil source. They get it. What's more secure? Really. And Europe is feeling the same problem with taking all of the gas from the Russian feeder pipeline. And now Russia is twitching and turning, and in a heartbeat they could turn off the gas to most of Europe. Now, granted, we're moving into the spring, and the danger would be less than it would be in winter, but it still will cause a great deal of problems. Many of the electrical services in Europe are still fired by oil or coal, or nuclear in some instances. They would come to a grinding halt. And before you know it, your retail services would start to break down. So I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly what the outcome would be if Russia chose to take those means. But they have the capabilities. And they have the capabilities because Europe did not secure their fuel source. Japan learned that in the Second World War to secure their lines of communication and to secure their delivery of products, whether it be munitions, food, or other stuff. And the United States, once the elections are over, will realize that to secure a fuel source is paramount in today's economy. You cannot afford to be beholden to another country. Now, here in Canada, we experience and understand that the United States of America are our number one partners. We do a lot of business together. And when you do good, we do good. And when you don't do good, we have to work harder for less. And we'd rather not, because we like to do good. So, to those naysayers out there that say, well, you know, he's just a Canadian, what does he know? What happens to you happens to us down the road. We were fortunate enough to have a very intelligent finance minister that managed to navigate his way through the last collapse in a fairly substantial manner. And Canada's banking system is solid, and there are no shaky roots. And I continue to get the reports from the FDIC and elsewhere regarding the local banks in the United States that are collapsing and continue to collapse and get swallowed up by these big mega banks. And it's almost like a controlled implosion. And then, of course, we're looking down into Nevada, into the Bunkerville area, the Bundy Ranch, and the call to arms by the militias from all over the country and to face off against the Bureau of Land Management, the federal arm of the government, who have chosen to kick this man off his rights for grazing, even though he has been there for well over 100 years, or his family has. Now, the militias are getting quite feisty, and the government supposedly are en masse just outside of Vegas, and apparently it's a massive military maneuver that they are planning. And this could be the shot that was heard around the world once again. I'm hoping now. You see, I firmly believe that we can work things out. But there again.
Are you heading to Bunkerville to stand up and fight? Are you heading to Bunkerville freedom and rights? Are you heading to Bunkerville? Stand up with me. 200 years of history in the land of the free.
I wonder in a few years whether they'll be using Bunkerville in the same manner that they used Wounded Knee or Columbine. I wonder if their Bunkerville will be remembered in the same way. And I wonder if the federal government are going to make any attempt to smooth this out, or whether they're just going to railroad this person off the land. And then the story is coming out that there are over 1 million people double voted in the last election. Yep, so the voting systems apparently were rigged, and the electronic systems apparently were commanded in such a way that the outcome was predetermined. It's almost like a Vegas slot machine, isn't it? And we mentioned a little earlier the changing of rules for the Electoral College in the States. Almost takes the Electoral College and abolishes it. You see, the states are prepared to accept popular votes to determine the factor for presidency. Now, 16 states have signed this, and it is winding its way through the government. And I hope to God it gets stopped. Otherwise, the Constitution of the United States will be in danger. And finally tonight, as we move toward the end of the night, the owner of a Saskatchewan pizza place laid off a pair of veteran employees in favor of hiring foreign workers. He says he welcomes a federal investigation on this. And in Canada, the new foreign worker program is causing a great deal of concern as to the legitimacy of the system. It appears to be cheaper to hire foreign workers and get a kickback, payback from the government for doing so in some kind of a grant system than it is to hire a regular worker who is prepared to give you their heart and soul. Not that a foreign worker isn't. But the foreign worker program used to be originally, if you could not find anybody to fill that position, then you were free to hire a foreign worker. Well, there's enough people to fill positions. And yet, two long-time employees were laid off in this Saskatchewan pizza place for these foreign workers to be hired to replace them. It's a difficult call. It's going to be very, very difficult. It's going to be a very difficult system to work out where everybody wins. Either way, the government's going to have a group of people that are not very happy at him. And by the way, the song Bunkerville that I played, just a quick clip of it, is available. Just go to YouTube, whatever. It's a great song. Sung and written by Wayne and Paula Carson. They wrote the song. I think it's a nice song to commemorate the standoff in Nevada. The Bureau of Land Management seemed to be a military arm of the Obama administration. The ranch has had over 100 years of continuous ranching on the land, and the BLM are trying to evict him. But the plot thickens just a little further, and we'll speak about this one next week. But the Chinese solar company is in cahoots with Senator Reid to purchase the land that this cowboy is getting thrown off. Citizens United against the U.S. federal government. 10 times in River City. God bless you all. We'll talk to you soon.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraCast Network production.